from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to serve up a ton of Jason Mimosas tonight. I am Rob Cesternino, and welcome back. I'll be your camp counselor here all summer long as we are back live after a Big Brother 21's premiere. And I'm very excited about what we have in store for you today, because we have with us an incredible guest to get this all started. Here he is, your winner of Big Brother 17, the great Steve Moses. Steve, how are you?
I am fantastic. I'm very thankful I'm not camp director.
Yes.
Very thankful
summer
that I'm
Steve
not camp
2019.
Director.
Yeah, Summer of Steve 2019. Here we go, of course. Some say Summer of Steve. Others say if it's the summer, it's usually the summer of Taryn. Here he is back with us to get the ball rolling on the official start of Big Brother 21. The great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad that we banished all others from the podcast to make room for the great Steve Moses. I'm very excited to be here. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. All right. Here we are. Big Brother 21, ready to get things started, and very excited to have you back here with us if you're joining us live. Thank you so much for checking us out right after the episode. If you're not live listening to the podcast version, check us out about 15 minutes or so after every episode of Big Brother 21 coming up here this season. A lot to do, of course. If you want to make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed. What you want to do here at the start of the season, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. We very much appreciate your honest reviews in the Apple Podcast Store. And also, we appreciate you subscribing here at the start of the season. If you want just Big Brother, none of the Survivor content, but you want to get the live feed updates, LFC Roundtable, everything we're doing for Big Brother, go to robhasawebsite.com/BB Podcast. And we appreciate your feedback and star ratings there as well. All right. So
I gave you 5 stars on your podcast.
Steve, did you really?
I actually did. I also gave 5 stars on the Taryn Show.
Oh, yes. All right. Steve, so excited to have you here with us tonight. Steve, what
this
have you been up to?
Steve won Big Brother.
Yeah. Let's get the update.
A few months ago, I actually purchased a new franchise business. I am now the owner of Oasis Senior Advisors Orlando. We are a free service coming alongside seniors and their families to help them find their ideal senior living community. So it's been a lot of fun because I'm going out, I'm meeting people and getting involved in the community and making a difference in people's lives. So it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. What prompted you to get interested in that, Steve?
A couple of things. I was done working for other people. I thought it would be a better long-term investment to get involved working for myself and building up my own business and my own asset. And also, I really like people. I am a people person. I'm finding myself becoming more of a people person over the last few years.
Okay.
And the focus of what I do is on people and on relationships and making that difference and getting involved in the community. And I love what I do every day because it's not sitting behind a desk. It's not saying one place. Is I go meet this person for lunch here, and then I go to this networking event, and then I go meet with the family and see how I can help them. So it's always up and active and doing something new.
All right. Well, congratulations on the new venture. Excited to have you here with us. Let's just set this up for our new listeners. So we're going to talk about just the episode here for the first part of the podcast. And then later on, we are going to talk about things that have happened on the Big Brother live feeds. We will play a sound that will indicate we're going to talk about spoilers from the live feeds, things that have not yet unfolded on the TV show. That's going to be coming up later on in the episode. We ask, if you are in the live chat, please respect the division between the sections of the podcast. So don't spoil things, because there are things. Don't spoil things that have not unfolded yet on the TV show. If you're chatting away, we have moderators in the chat, and we will be bouncing you if you cannot follow the rules. Okay, so we run a tight ship around here as we are kicking off Big Brother 21. Okay, so let's dive into our 16 new house guests. Steve, anybody really stand out to you here on night one?
I like The cap canceler thing is interesting because it really divides who wants to get blood on their hands and start playing aggressively early and who is just trying to keep the attention off of themselves for the first couple of weeks. And obviously, I'm going to be biased towards the people who keep themselves the attention off themselves for the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Cliff, I get, because I'm glad he is aware of what traditionally happens with that one older person that always seems to be on Big Brother, whether that's your Glenn, whether that's your, who is that, your Steve, and that always seems to happen. So I'm glad he is aware of it and stood up for himself and is going to fight it and not just lay down and die. The other people who campaigned for camp counselor all seem to be saying they wanted it because they wanted to be safe this week. None of them were talking long-term. So you had Jessica who was doing it, and you had Jackson who was campaigning for it, who were both, I want it this week. I want this for now and not thinking about long-term. And that worries me about where the long-term game is going to go because they're so focused on short-term.
I also want to set up here at the top of the show, use the hashtag RHAP on Twitter to get your questions into the show later on for Steve and about the Big Brother 21 premiere. Okay. Taryn, I got to ask you about this opening night twist. I know it's a thing. You're the guy. You hate the twists. You want a pure game. You don't want them to get all creative with everything going on. But we got this revelation of what they're doing on a scale of from really bad to maybe not that bad. How do you feel about the camp director twist?
It's pretty down there in the really bad.
Really bad. Opinion. Oh,
I hate these. I hate how, like,
you said you don't like night one eviction. They answered you. They
fought the night one eviction. That,
technically, it's night two eviction.
Okay. And technically, they were never really house guests, right? Because all of them were already
camp counselors.
Evicted.
Yeah.
All four of them were evicted, really, is what's happening. Mm-hmm. I hate these. It makes me feel complicit in, like, just unnecessary cruelty to know that somebody went through all of the effort, potentially quit their job. You know, this could be their dream for that they've had for decades, and they finally made it.
We're not.
And then just like that, it's over before it even begins. I hate it. I don't like watching it, and I don't think it adds anything to the show.
Okay, Steve, how do you feel about this?
I agree with Taryn. I hate the instant evictions. It was Jody as Cameron, Glenn, and now we have a fourth member of that club. However, I will say of those four, this one is the one that I dislike the least because I feel like there's the most game involved because you had to not win the camp counselor vote and then you had to get voted in. Whereas opposed to like 18, it was determined purely by competitions. 19, it was you got randomly picked. In 14, it was one random person who picked you. So I most certainly never like these, but of the four they've done, this one is the one I dislike the least.
Taryn, I just want to talk through the logistics of this. From what I understand, so we have our camp director named. Jackson will pick four people, and those four people will go into one competition, or they will play a series of competitions?
I don't think they were particularly clear about that, but they did say essentially battle it out. I would assume that it's one competition. I don't know how they split it up.
We saw the dark room where the blindfolded thing, Steve is nodding. Yes. Do you think it will be, Steve, that the first three people to get out of the thing or find the, you know, the, we saw, I think that this was was that the one, was it Casey ultimately won that one back in the Big Brother 20 premiere of will we see everybody go into the dark room, things will explode, and then whoever doesn't come out with a key or whatever will end up being the person who gets voted out?
I would be surprised if it's anything but that.
Okay. Because I was thinking that perhaps it could be like the great Glenn of Big Brother 18, where Tara, I thought that maybe it might be a series of competitions where somebody could. Okay, now four people and then whoever wins this one, they're immune. But that'll be a lot of competitions tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put it past them to do that, like on Big Brother 18. But I think the reason they did that on Big Brother 18 is that they had the full cast to whittle down to one group. This time they already have that one group. And once they got down to four, it was just one competition.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Glenn was one coconut short away from knocking out Corey Christmas from that competition. So we'll see. We'll see exactly how this is going to play out here on this. But I will throw this into the mix. In Big Brother 18, where we had this type of setup, Taryn, we also had the battle back setup here with a night one eviction. Do you think that we are potentially, whoever does go out, they are going to be part of some sort of a pre-jury battle back?
Honestly, I was fully expecting that, based on, you know, just like the fact that there was going to be a night one or two eviction. The way that they worded this particular one, I feel like is a little bit less inclined toward that, because they said banishing people makes them no longer house guests and they have to fight their way back into the house, which is like them already doing a battle back. So for that person that loses to then fight again to get back into the house seems a little redundant, but I would expect at one point, at the very least, if not 2 points, like in Big Brother 18, that we'll get some kind of returning person from who has been evicted.
Is Jackson, in essence, sending four people to the edge of extinction, Taryn?
It's possible. It's possible. If Edge of Extinction was go there and then come right back, only one of you doesn't get to.
Right.
Oh, they don't get to come back at Final Five and then win the game?
Yes, making it a Final Six. Yes, that is correct. Steve, so I'd love to talk through the strategy of what went on here with this, because it looked like I thought that was Cliff. I thought that he was made a good call of we saw him say he was going to go for the HOH. He's like, hey, if nobody wants it, sure, I'll jump on the grenade. I'll take it if nobody else wants it. But then that sort of opened things up where then a number of other people started to step up and then also wanted to get the power. What did you think about the way that unfolded?
I was really disappointed that we saw zero of Cliff's campaigning, because I am confident that Cliff is not going to be a lazy player. I am sure that he is someone who's going to be very hardworking in that house. And I would have loved to have seen what happened that caused zero votes, because we saw the camaraderie in the one of the bedrooms about Jessica campaigning for votes. And then we saw in the hammock room how Jackson was trying to pull people over. And I'm disappointed we didn't see any of Cliff there.
Yeah, Taryn, I was really surprised at how it unfolded, because it looked like, oh, okay, there is going to be, okay, here's all the women with Tommy. Okay, it's going to be a girl power situation. We heard how Kemi ended up describing that whole situation of how that was going to unfold. She described it, and I'm going to play the clip because I can't say it as artfully as she did. She thought it was going
to
be all women.
So we're trying to figure out who to vote for camp director, and I would really love to see Jess win. I'd love to see a woman grab the power by the boobs.
Yeah. And so, but then it just very quickly, Jackson got Nicole on board, and I wasn't sure why all of a sudden everybody ended up switching over to Jackson.
I think it was just a matter of, speaking with confidence, essentially. The person who is able to more confidently just be like, no, I want this. You should be on my team. We saw they approached Jessica with the idea to vote for her, and she was like, oh, me? Well, I guess thank you then. She did not present a very confident front. And most of those people, I think, were just hoping to be in the majority, which I think is the right move, to make sure that you are at least in the majority voting for the person that ultimately wins, so that person won't end up placing you in danger.
Steve, do you have any thoughts on how things shifted to go Jackson's way so quickly?
I don't think anyone was particularly concerned about voting for Jackson versus Jessica. I think there was a much stronger concern to vote with the house. Mm-hmm. And everyone collectively decided that the house was voting for Jackson. So I would guess that most of Jackson's votes were not votes for Jackson. Most of votes for Jackson were votes for the house, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's just so what happened that caused the house to flip.
Taryn, are you surprised that Jackson went for this so hard, where that Jessica was sort of like, hey, I'll do it if you want me to. Sure, I'll throw my... But Jackson really wanted it and pushed hard.
Yeah, I mean, I get the sense that he was a little bit worried based on his self-proclaimed, you know, stature, physical.
Yeah, can I play that clip? Here was Jackson's reasons why everybody needed to vote for Jackson.
This game is physical. This thing's going to get thick. It's going to get messy.
Yeah, really quickly.
Look, I'll be damned if I go through all of it to get here and get sent out just because of my appearance or because of how young I am or my physical abilities based off looks. I'll be damned if that's going to happen to me. It better happen to somebody else.
I never got when people talk about being a physical threat on Big Brother. I never got that. That couldn't be more irrelevant to anything.
Yeah, so I'm mostly just confused about how Joey Lawrence got back in the house how he fulfilled his wish to finally be Batman, because that was, I just heard Batman in my ears.
Steve, are you saying that Jace didn't get voted out first from BB17 because he was a physical threat?
No, that had nothing to do with it. James thought he was annoying. The end.
Yeah.
You didn't love Shelltown? Who didn't love Shelltown?
I didn't know about Shelltown until I was out of hell, but I did. I thoroughly enjoyed Jace. Everyone else thought I was an
Oh my God, Steve, I forgot about that conversation he had with you. Oh my God, that was such an awkward conversation.
All right, well, here's Jackson. He's basically going all in on this and gets it. Steve, do you feel like, will this be a good thing long term for Jackson's game that he
absolutely
is
not.
No, bad.
I am a big proponent of keep the attention off you in this pre-jury stage of the game. If he had kept his mouth shut and just not ruffled feathers, I think he's someone who could have possibly gotten along to get along for a couple weeks. Cliff is the one I get because of that precedent, but Jackson, I think he was just Julie comes on the screen, and when Julie comes on the screen and tells you someone's going, your heart sinks, and he panicked.
Yeah.
And he was thinking about short term. He was thinking about now. He's not thinking about how is this going to affect me 10 weeks down the road. What sticks with me was when Cody cast his jury vote against Paul, part of that bitterness came from Paul not giving Cody the friendship bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, I'm picturing Jackson in a final two and telling me, I hated you ever since you banished me in the first day.
Yeah,
and it sounds silly, but that could actually come back to bite him like that.
Yeah, Taryn, I was kind of disappointed in Jackson. I had higher hopes for him going into the season, but he came out of the gate real hot.
He's a real Aaron from Survivor China that I don't want to be the leader. I don't want to be the leader. Okay, I'm the leader. I'm definitely the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he was reluctant. He was the fourth person to volunteer for it, but then he was all in. He really wanted it. Now, Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong. He also said in the pregame interviews that he wanted to be first HOH.
Yes, he did. He wanted to be first HOH, I believe. A lot of people did, to be fair. But I think that being like this is separate from first HOH. I think there were a lot of people that said that they would be fine being first HOH that did not want to go for this particular power. Because, I mean, A, you don't know what it is. And B, the way that you get it is just so random. And you have to not only compete for it, but to compete socially for it and be a very aggressive social presence in such an early stage of the game, that's really not something you want to do.
Steve, do you think it's an advantage for the person, for the three people who get put into this competition and then survive it? Will they have some sympathy from the house where people will feel like, oh, well, I can't put that person back on the block next week?
Or they're an easier pawn because they're already mad at Jackson. So if I now put them up as my pawn, they're not going to be seeing anyone else is going to be singularly focused on me. At least their attention will be split between me and Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's why with so many seasons, we see the same person go up 9 or 10 times and never even be talked about for eviction because they're the pawn. Everyone knows that. No one's going to get rid of Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, does it end up being an easy decision for Jackson? I believe there were 4 votes for Jessica to be the camp director. Could Jackson just turn around and then put the 4 people who were Jessica votes into the camp director competition?
It definitely seems like the easy choice. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, he should not put anybody that voted for him into the competition. He has enough people that did not, that he doesn't have to do that. So I really, if like anybody that votes for Jackson to have camp director, and then he puts them in the competition for your life, like that person is never going to work with him in the entirety of the game from that point forward, in my opinion. He has to do somebody that didn't vote for him. So one of the four that voted for Jessica, or Jessica herself, who I assume voted for Nick, would be my choice. Yeah.
Okay. Steve, tomorrow night, we have a really busy episode of the show. So we got to get through the picking the people that are going to go into this competition. We have to see this competition play out. And then we're also going to have an HOH competition and have a new HOH competition. And that, from what I understand, is Jackson safe in that HOH's nominations as well?
I believe that's what Julie said. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She said he would be safe for the first live eviction of the season, and that would be next week.
Okay. Does not entail this person being evicted. Does not technically count as a live eviction.
I don't think so.
Even though they're pretending that they are live with the audience.
So maybe
it's tricky. It's tricky. So, what a jam packed episode on night two. See, was this just me? I felt like that we really blew through the 16 house guest introductions. Not that I'm complaining. I felt like that we kind of yada yada all this. We got through it in basically the first 20 minutes.
Who's that interested to see the key surprises? Anyone who's interested in knowing their outside stories already knows it. And the audience at home who didn't care enough to go online just wants to see the game get played.
Taryn, maybe could we put in a request for Ika next season? Instead of seeing who can do a good fake laugh, like who can actually pretend that they're surprised that they're getting a key when they're being filmed by the camera? Who can do a good impression of that? Because nobody can.
No,
Steve, did you do a good one?
I was actually surprised. I mean, obviously, you know that production made an appointment to come to where you are like 2 weeks in advance. But they actually did successfully hide my key on me. Like, hey, go, let us get a clip of you ruffling through that box. And I didn't know they had snuck that key in my box while I was not looking. So that moment actually did.
Okay,
they got me.
So you don't know you're technically on the show. It's like, oh, we're filming with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, but if they're coming to your hometown, you're either on the show or you're an alternate. But I was surprised by this specific moment.
Yeah. Taryn, anybody stand out to you as memorable getting the key?
No.
I mean, with Jack, they just like threw it on the blanket. Like, here you go.
Yeah. I just remember like Nicole's was awkward because she was like talking to her mom or something. And then Bella had her mom there. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Boy, Bella was really funny tonight. Yes. She was great. Her mom has become like a character on the show. Steve, that I know that we saw a lot about your mom in Big Brother 17. Do you like the incorporation of the character of Bella's mom?
Is an important part of who she is and how she was raised. And it's probably is going to be reflected in her game quite a bit.
Yeah. She said, I know my mom is watching already. Bella, why aren't you camp director? I'm so disappointed in you. It's great.
Yeah, long-term game.
Yeah, Taryn, I don't remember her being this funny or cutting in the pre-game interviews. Am I off on that? Am I misremembering?
No, you're not. I mean, what I said about Bella was it felt like she was talking a big game. In her bio, she was very clever and witty. And she said she was like a very biting person. But then in the interviews themselves, she was very just unremarkable, very chill. But luckily, we get her on the show and she is everything that she claimed to be.
Yeah, Mike Bloom texted me last week and was like, I think Isabella could be like a Brittany Haynes. And I was like, well, where's he getting this from? This is crazy, but that was a great call by Mike Bloom. Very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Bella. Steve, are you a fan of the Aquaman movie?
No. I haven't seen too many movies recently.
Yes. Okay. Well, but you're aware of it.
No,
you have no awareness.
I know there's superhero movies. I didn't know there was one. There's too many superhero movies. I love Groot, and there's my knowledge of superhero movies.
I am Groot. And so, or you personally love Groot?
Oh, I do love Groot.
Okay, all right. So Taryn, boy, we were really leaning real hard onto the Aquaman stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is, Jack said he hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah, like, he doesn't. Right. Jack, I'm starting to think that Jack is obsessed with Jason Momoa, that Jack is a Jason Momoa impersonator. And that's how they found him, because he is like, he knows every Aquaman joke. All he does is talk about Aquaman. He talks to the fish. He is such a poser about the Aquaman stuff, Taryn. He's all in on Jason Momoa. If I was Jason Momoa, I would serve Jack with a cease and desist immediately.
See, I think that the producers are telling him what to say about Aquaman. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, I don't know that. Steve, what do you think? How much do you've been through this process? Okay. How much is this Jack directing himself?
The producers never pushed me too much in the DR. It was usually just, hey, can you talk about a physics or math concept that relates to this competition? And then that would be it. So beyond that, no, I never felt like they pushed a character or a persona or anything like that on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, I also think that this is going to play very well for him, that I think that the music package that he's getting, where the swelling like action hero music, I do think that if we have an early competition vote, I think that he is going to play very favorably to the Big Brother audience.
I would assume so. I mean, just based on the reaction of his fellow house guests, I think that that's a good indication of the general audience and where they might go. I mean, I saw the reaction to his, they do the photo shoot with them in their bathing suits. And I saw an adoring reaction to his individual photos. So.
Yes. Okay.
Would it be fair to say that Jack's the most popular person in the house right now? Because that would be my inclination.
I think that's fair. I was watching E.T. right before E.T. America, right before. And that was like their tease for like, all right, coming up tonight, Big Brother. Hey, have you seen this guy that looks like Jason Momoa on the video? Everybody's talking about it. And that was like their hook for why you should watch Big Brother, that there's a guy who looks like Aquaman.
I mean, don't they do that every year? I mean, how long with Devin in 16 did they keep trying to tell us he looked like The Rock?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean,
this is par for the course.
Yeah. Steve, are you saying that a new twist for Big Brother 22 should be all celebrity impersonators? Like, basically, we'll just find people who look like, all right, let's get a Beyonce. Let's get, get everybody who is like the biggest stars in the world. Get Trump, get an Obama, put them all in the house. And then let's just watch Big Brother celebrity impersonators.
Well, something Robin says that always sticks with me is she tries to cast people who will set an impression on you instantly. So their goal is to try and make a hook to get you to care about any person immediately. And everyone knows, except me, knows Aquaman. So if you have an opinion on Aquaman, you now have an opinion on Jack, and there's your hook for Jack immediately.
Yes, if your fish hook for Aquaman. The women in the house, Taryn, were very taken, and also Tommy, and also Jackson, were very taken with Jack. Although we did get to hear Catherine mistake him for not Jason Momoa, but
he looks like Jason Mimosa.
Jason Mimosa. So
yeah,
they were drinking champagne. They were drinking champagne. You could have a Jason Mimosa if you got some orange juice.
It really feels like Catherine is their Dodo music player of the season, that she was getting a lot of that. But yes, it was funny, because normally when they do those introductions, it's usually like, this sort of chain of people that find another person attractive, like, Catherine finds Jackson attractive, and Jackson finds Annalise attractive. And then, everybody finds Jack attractive. That's right. Every single one of them.
Right. Steve, do you feel like that these who's attracted to who, is that setting up potentially when we come Taryn is comes up with a live feed update on Wednesday night? Do you think that we're going to start having couples already based on those first impressions, or that's kind of meaningless?
Grodner wouldn't have it any other way.
Which way? That
of having show dances.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to argue that Love Island is just Big Brother in all the commercials tonight.
Boy, a lot of Love Island commercials tonight. They're really pushing that. Steve, will you watch Love Island?
I don't think I will be now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will have our Love Island wrap up coming up next week. So be on the lookout for that with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scali. And I will very much looking forward to jumping in and being on the first recap. Taryn, will you follow Love Island?
I mean, I'll try.
Okay. Yeah, but they're really pushing it. Really pushing. What's going on?
They are. They're really pushing. I'm personally not very pleased with Love Island because it's pushed Big Brother back on Wednesday nights. So, but we'll see.
Just basically getting to watch Tangela and Swaley all over again.
Yeah, are they going to be on Love Island?
They were on the ads for it.
Yes, yes. A lot of shows like, hey. Yes,
they'll probably make a guest appearance at some point.
Big Brother fans, you love. Well, it's in Fiji, so it'd be a little bit to get them there. Probably easier to get some of the survivors over there, but that's a story for another time. Anyway, Steve, let's talk about the, speaking of pairs, let's talk about Tommy and Christy, who... That this was broken on the day that the cast came out. Hey, these people know each other. And then we did see the show showing us this. Was this planned? I don't think so. But the show is at least being upfront about Tommy and Christy.
I expect them to handle it well because I have gotten the impression they're both level-headed enough and both know the show well enough to know the precedent of people who know each other. And I think they know even people think they hate each other. Anything that makes them different in week one is bad. Mm-hmm. And right now they're the only pair that we have. So I think they'd be wise to keep their mouths shut. And I think they know enough to know that's the right decision. And I'm confident they'll be able to do it for at least week one or week two.
Taryn, what do you think about how this all developed on the show tonight?
I mean, it's a little confusing as to, like, was this intentional? Are we going to do something with this at some point? Or is it just something that happened? I feel like we didn't get a very clear answer. All Julie said was, and some of them might know each other. And then we got the segment about them knowing each other. So, you know, maybe this will come up at some point in the future. But for right now, it's very unclear.
Yes,
can I
Steve.
Add something?
Yes.
Two things to add. The first one is that something we were discussing before the show came up. Never, ever, never in Big Brother US have they had only one pair of people who knew each other. Every time it's been done, it's been at least two pairs of people. So I'd be very surprised if that is the only pairing. The other thing that stood out to me is the relationship. So she is the sister. Tommy's sister is her ex.
No, no, no. Tommy's aunt is her ex.
That's a weird relationship. Like X Factor, it made sense. And they brought in X's a few other times, like season 9 and season 8. But like,
yeah,
that's a weird one. Like, I can't imagine this was an accident. Production spent enough money vetting people to where I'm sure they knew this before they moved in. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I know there's been a lot of speculation about other pairs, and that's we don't hear anything about any other potential pair. I know, Taryn, there was also some talk about do Jackson and Ovi know each other from Tennessee, and they talked about that, but they did not mention ever meeting before.
Yes, we thought that perhaps at the very least Jackson might know of Ovi. He was the, you know, class president of whatever, but it didn't seem like that was the case either. So, you know, they have that connection that they went to the same school, but they don't seem to know each other at all.
Okay. It doesn't seem as though we're going to hear anything else about anybody else. And maybe that's something that comes up on the live feeds, or maybe it's something that ends up being just over speculation.
It's very possible. Yeah. Right. I mean, like Steve said, it is very strange. The whole situation is very strange. The connection is incredibly obvious between Christy and Tommy. It's something that was like the second that they were both announced as cast members, like something that immediately broke, even though like they have accounts that are private now and all of that stuff. If they're casting these people, I find it very difficult to believe they did not see this ahead of time. And with that being the case, it is a weird connection. Maybe they saw it and they were just like, you know what? That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then we weren't going to do anything else. But like you said, they've never done it this way where only one pair of people knows each other. So, I mean, I think we're just gonna have to wait and see if maybe there are other pairs that they just haven't revealed yet, or maybe this was just, you know, weird little thing in casting and they just decided to let it go.
Steve, do you think that we're going to be able to see Tommy and Christy be able to keep this a secret?
Yes. At least for the upfront. By the time week three or week four rolls around, I don't think people will care as much because we'll already have our two sides of the house. But I think where this is going to be the most volatile for them is in this week one and week two, where no one knows what to do and anyone's looking for a reason to target anyone. And if this gets out, what an easy two nominees. So I think their biggest hurdle is just to get through week one and week two, and then it'll matter a lot less several weeks down the line.
Taryn, I feel like that Christy is going to have a hard time with keeping a secret.
I mean, that I think that was Tommy's fear immediately. Like they put us into his mind when he saw Christy and he was like, oh my God, I need to talk to her to make sure we're on the same page because she could just blurt out anything right now. But she seemed to be very cool. She seemed to be very chill about it and did not say much. So, you know, who knows? Maybe she is a little more savvy than she maybe outwardly appears to be. Or maybe we're just, you know, we're having a delayed reaction. We'll get the fuse blown eventually.
Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of Tommy's "nice to meet you" in the loud, obnoxious tone.
Yeah, I wish we would have got to see that conversation that they were supposedly going to have. Yeah,
like, hey, oh my God, can you believe we're both here? Oh, what are we going to do? I hope we get that conversation. But
maybe their conversation was like, oh my God, can you believe that they screwed up and cast us both on the season? We know each other. Like, oh my God. Okay. All right. Don't say anything. All right. Good. And that's why they couldn't show that part to us. Okay. Steve, we got a lot of questions to get to and we're going to talk about spoilers, but any other big night one thoughts?
I don't think this will fare well for Jackson. Cliff was the only person who was right to speak up.
I do love Cliff, and I agree with his decision to go for camp director. If I were to critique anything that he did, I wasn't the biggest fan of him outwardly saying, well, I know, you know, being the older guy, I'm, you know, likely to be targeted early. I like him saying that to me in the diary room. I don't love it. In front of the house, because one, it tells them that he knows, like he's savvy enough to know that. And two, it's almost like a permission slip to be like, hey guys, I understand if everyone wants to target me. He's basically singling himself out as the easy target, whereas otherwise there might be even just a little bit of reluctance to do so.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking about it, but since you brought it up, we should get Cliff out. You get it, Cliff.
That'll be made even worse by him. Everyone knows that he asked for it. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows that he got, there are people who didn't ask for votes that got more votes than him. I'm sure those were just Jackson's and Jessica's throwaway votes because they didn't want to vote each for each other. They just had to vote for someone random. But those two other random people that Jackson and Jessica voted for got more votes than Cliff, who came out and asked for votes.
Yeah. Taryn, we went all in on the exploding paint on night one. We didn't get 45 minutes into the season without a diary room interrupted by exploding paint.
Yeah, it was such an elaborate setup for such a simple competition, but you know, it worked. I mean, Bella getting painted in the face and then falling over was a good moment. I enjoyed watching that. It paid off at least once.
Yes. Okay. Steve is getting some cat assistance. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions here as we are opening things up, and then we'll get to our spoilers coming up in just a bit. Matt wants to know, with the camp director really lending itself to the short game, how do you think gaining the power influences Jackson's game overall? What could he do to position himself best for the long game? Taryn, how could Jackson rebound from this?
I mean, I think that, as we mentioned, he has to only put up people that didn't vote for him. I think the other way to go about this, or the other thing that he should be doing, is just talking to people and expressing that, like, oh man, what did I do? I just put myself in such a bad position. I know that there are definitely three people at least that will definitely be gunning for me for the rest of the game now. I really hope that, you know, I have your support to keep me safe moving forward from this point. You know, getting as much as he can. And also, again, reminding people as often as possible that he now has three guaranteed enemies. So, you know, you don't have to be the one that deals with me. We've got three other people that are definitely going to be really mad at me from now on.
Okay. Steve, anything you want to add with that?
We brought up before how the easiest people for Jackson would be the four people who voted against him. Everyone's going to be saying they voted for Jackson. Those four people are going to be denying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if we knew how everyone voted, yeah, that'd be real easy. But then we don't even know who the four votes for Jessica were.
Yeah.
I don't see. I mean, that would be the. But I
hope that's how it goes down.
But what are the chances Jackson's going to pick the four correct people? Mm-hmm. Not good. I'd argue not good.
I imagine that, like, he probably knew at least some of the people that were guaranteed votes for him. I think he probably had a decent idea of where most of his votes were coming from. But it would definitely be interesting if we got some people claiming to go the other way.
Okay.
I'd do that.
Why not?
Yeah. You did it once.
Me? No, that must have been someone else.
Let's take this question from Torrance Armstrong. Did anyone wear plaid going into the house like winners? Steve, Nicole, Derek, and Morgan. Steve, did you wear plaid going into the house?
I did. It was a shirt production bought for me. They didn't like any of mine, so they bought me a new one.
Oh, that's nice. Taryn, I was really, my heart sunk when the guy that I was pinning all my draft hopes, Tommy, ended up being the first person to walk into the house.
Yes, and as a self-proclaimed super fan, you should know better.
Tamar broke that.
It was celebrity, though. We don't know.
No, it's broken. It's broken. It's a streak. No.
If I'm Tommy, I'm not taking the risk that celebrity counts.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first I've heard the curse is not broken. I thought I called it long and dead. Okay. I didn't know celebrity didn't count.
All right. We have to look into that. We did a fact check of does a celebrity. Yeah, I think it counts. I think Celebrity Big Brother counts.
You can still say that on BBUS proper, the first person has never won. So, you know, and plus, if I'm Tommy anyway, I'm just going to make sure I'm not first.
Tommy Tamar.
And then when Tommy wins this season, you say, well, no one on an even numbered season has ever walked in the house and won.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. All right. This is a question for Steve. Would Steve be up for a Big Brother All Winner season? Now, I don't know where that's crazy talk that a show would do a season with winners. But if they did one for Big Brother, Steve, would you consider that?
If I may quote myself in my exit interview with you the day after I won, no.
No. Okay. All right, good. Not a lot of people can walk out of the casino up. Not a lot of people. That is not a trait with our reality TV brethren.
I'm done. One was more than enough for me.
All right.
I played smart. 97 too many days.
Okay. All right. So why don't we go ahead and let's talk spoilers. Okay. Stevie, you up for that?
I don't know them.
Okay, but good. Yes, all right, good. Well, buckle up. Okay. Because we got some stuff to talk about, and we're going to go ahead. We're going to hit the spoiler button. I just want to reset here that tomorrow night, if you're going to jump out, you don't want to know anything that's going to happen of who's going to potentially lose the competition. Then we will see you tomorrow night live the same time, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be joined by Brent and Melissa. So very excited to recap night two of the Big Brother premiere. Okay. So that's what's coming up tomorrow night. So just to give you a little Big Brother night two, it's going to be on Tuesday night. We're not going to go through all the plugs or anything. I'll do that later on in the show, but that's what's coming up tomorrow night. And with that in mind, let's go ahead and bring you the news about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning. A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. All right. For the first time in Big Brother 21.
Oh, my God. I can't believe OV won this season. That was insane.
Yeah. Congratulations, OV. Okay. Taryn. We have some news to talk about because we have had some feed leaks. We've had some feeds that were on. We've had a lot of speculation about graphics. And so, Taryn, what do Big Brother fans that are on the internet, what have they been able to decipher about this season?
Well, Rob, it's been a roller coaster of emotions.
Yes.
Here in the Big Brother streets. We got a feed leak the other day.
Yes.
That I assume was not intentional. It was audio only. And we got a lot of game talk. And the first thing that we learned was that we have our first HOH. And that HOH is Christy.
Okay.
In the first HOH.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we're jumping ahead. Okay.
Well, we're going in order of when the information was introduced.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll follow along.
Yes. So we know that Christy is HOH. She was talking about potential nominees, and she mentioned that that Catherine is probably her target because Catherine has been sort of getting on her nerves and being weird. And she also is maybe in a little bit of a showmance with Jackson. And then Cliff is likely her pawn, that she's going to nominate Cliff as a repeat nominee, which should, of course, tell you that these people all made it through the night one eviction, that Cliff somehow managed to survive despite apparently being chosen by Jackson to go into this this competition. So we learned that Jackson did, of course, win this first, you know, camp director sort of thing. And he then named four people to go compete in the thing. Apparently, we heard from Christy that Cliff told her that the four people that volunteered themselves, Cliff, Jessica, David, and Jackson, all made a pact during the campaigning that whichever of them won, they would keep each other safe. And then Jackson turned around and nominated all three of them to go compete in the competition. So all three of them, plus one other person that I'm not sure we know who it is.
Steve, if you're gonna break a deal, break it with everybody, right?
Yes, I'm very confused by that play. They volunteered to play in that competition?
No, they volunteered to campaign to be camp directors. Those
all
four
the
people.
Other
whoever
people
gets it, keep everybody safe.
That was his way of being neutral.
Yes, but he apparently made a pact with them, which does not, like, why would you make a pact with these people and then immediately go back on your word? It didn't seem like the best move to me.
As we've seen already, Jackson is not thinking long term. Otherwise, he would not be camp director.
So we got the sense that somebody was gone. And so we were paying attention to what names were being mentioned. And it came down to most people were mentioned. The few people that weren't, one of them was David, one of them was Kemi, and one of them was Annalise. And we did hear Christy mention the name, the nickname Sis.
Here, can we pause for one second? Steve, I feel like you're on the edge of your seat. Do you know where this is going?
I don't.
Okay. Oh, this is good. This is
I remember hearing about Sis, but Annalise said her nickname was Sis tonight, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
We did discover through online detectiving that Annalise does go by Sis. So we were able to take Annalise off of the table. Christy also said, and this is the problem with going on just a very limited amount of information, she said that she didn't want Cliff to be the first guy to go home. And so trying to read into as much as we could, we kind of assumed, okay, maybe that means that a guy hasn't gone home yet, which would eliminate David from the pool, which means only Kemi is left as somebody that was not named by Christy.
And for more on eliminating David and putting David back in the pool,
Yes.
How would Kemi be out if
she would have been the fourth person that Jackson chose to compete in the competition, along with the other three that volunteered. So that was kind of the assumption for a little while, until CBS released the cast photos that I referred to, where previously on CBS releasing cast photos, Big Brother 19, there was a guy, I don't know if anybody remembers him. His name was Cameron, or was it Carl? I don't remember. Yes. And he was very clearly photoshopped into the photos. So we were kind of assuming that if somebody had gone home already, that, that there would be some kind of photoshopping going on. And, of course we saw that, okay. There was a very clear Photoshop here.
So, Scott, let me know if you can find the cast picture of everybody, the one in the pool, right? That's what we want to see, Tyron.
I think the worst one is the one where they're more not in the pool.
The patio area.
The patio okay. area, yes. Now,
Steve, you made the motion of like juggling. I remember that. Of juggling.
Yeah, because Cameron was juggling the apples in that backyard photo in 19.
And then, it was really bad.
This is David in this. I remember seeing it as David. I think he's sitting kind of like this.
With
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I recall that now.
So
I try not to dig too much into it, but
the bad Photoshop was what got people starting to go in a different direction, right, Taryn?
Yes. So immediately, you know, people forgot about what was said about the first guy. And we go back to the fact that David's name was not mentioned and he is very clearly photoshopped into these photos. The internet detectives got on it again. They went into the information that comes with photos about like date and time and location of where they were shot. And they discovered that David's individual photos were in fact taken a full 90 minutes after everyone else's.
Oh, I thought that they were going by like the location of the sun. I didn't know that they just, I felt like that. I was more impressed when it was like, oh no, look at the sun in the sky. It's 90 minutes later.
Yes. So it became very clear that unfortunately David was photoshopped into these photos. So some people held out hope. They said, well, maybe this twist doesn't mean he's gone from the house forever. Maybe he's just banished for a week and then comes back. But it does appear that, as Julie said, one of these people will not be making their way back into the house. And that person seems to be, in fact, David, which again was further confirmed by an official live feed preview that happened today, where we got some video. We got about 15 minutes of the house. We didn't get any game talk, but we did see all 15 members of the cast except for David. So he is, it's not looking good.
Yeah, and Steve, no hint from the episode that things were going in a bad direction for David.
Well, the only way they go south is that Jackson made the easiest choice he could, and then David lost a competition.
Yeah,
there's not a lot. It's like the story of how Glenn lost. Mm-hmm. There isn't one. He lost a competition.
Yeah. Here, let me see. I think Scott has that picture. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's take a look at the picture. This is the one you're talking about, Taryn?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, there's David sitting on the cooler.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not looking at a full size, but it doesn't look awful to me. I thought that the pool one is
that one actually looks. Is that a different photo? I feel like
maybe they fixed it. Maybe there was a worse one, and maybe they came in and did a second draft. That one looks okay to me.
That's the updated one. Okay. They updated it.
All right, we'll see if we can find it. All right, Steve, what do you make of all this?
That's disappointing. A lot of people had David as their winner pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that a lot. Who had David in the draft, Taryn?
Melissa, maybe.
Okay. So yeah, people were high on him. I saw some people had him as a winner pick, Steve. So, David out as the, first boot of the season, potentially, Steve. What's your reaction?
Oh, that makes, there's a day two boot that always makes me sad. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go ahead and boo the concept of day two fun. I thought David was someone who had more potential to add to a season. I thought he was going to be one of the more unique characters.
Yeah. I wasn't super excited about David in the cast based on the interviews that he had. I thought it was weird that we had two people that were camera people with Jack and David in the house. I thought that that was odd. And he just didn't seem like he was that electric in any of the interviews. We did find out, Taryn, that he has a story where he was very heavy and then started doing CrossFit and had a whole body transformation.
Yeah, becoming at least the second person. I think Cameron also talked about being a very active person that all, you know, and of course, Jody famously talked about being very active. It seems to be a trend a little bit that don't talk about being active if you are afraid of being the day one eviction.
OK, so, yeah, don't talk about that. You've had a transformation.
No, leave it out.
Okay. All right. All right.
Dangerous waters.
Steve, any other questions or comments about processing all this information?
We've had a battle back or buyback or battle back extravaganza. I've lost track of all the different things they've been called, but that's happened every year since what? 14? Like 14 since Frank's eviction was canceled. I'm pretty sure every year has had some kind of a battle back.
Did somebody come back on 15?
Judd.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how can I forget? Every year.
John Nicole, Johnny Mac, you know,
Victor.
Yeah. Yeah. So
not Caitlin, mm-hmm. But she had the chance to.
Mm.
So we'll see. I mean, it's a 99 day season and we kicked off somebody on night one. So then that we could almost, you know, bet anything that we are going to have somebody coming back or God forbid somebody else coming in. But I think that somebody coming back is the more realistic option.
I'm so glad we had the feeds leak because I was waiting for a vet to replace whoever lost tonight. So I'm glad to hear that.
A vet
wasn't
from Big Brother 6?
Yeah, Maggie Osborne's coming back. Didn't you hear?
Yeah, it's huge. Okay. This is another version of the photo. This is one. Now, is this there photoshopped or is this everybody was really wearing those T-shirts? Like, are the T-shirts photoshopped on the people, Taryn? I'm so confused.
No, those are the T-shirts I'm sure they were actually probably wearing. But as you can see, we've zoomed in. Tommy's legs are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
In the gap between David's arms and legs. It's a little hard to see, at least from my perspective in this view, but Annalise's arm is just kind of vanishes into the back of David there as well. You know, and then just overall, it just, I mean, if you can see, it's photoshopped.
Okay. All right. What are you going to do? All right. So you can't get anything past the Big Brother sleuths on the internet. They're on.
Yes. He's also the only person. They're all like yelling, like mouths open. And he's just like sitting there smiling.
Yeah, he's calm. Okay. Good work on the Zoom there, Scott St. Pierre. Nicely done. Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else that we know at this hour?
Nothing crazy. Like I said, that we found out that obviously Jack and Jackson are very close. We found out that Jackson and Catherine are very close, that they might have a little bit of a thing brewing. But Catherine appears to potentially at least be the target for the first week. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, we'll see if that ends up lasting at all. Okay. We know that
somewhere Melissa is shook.
Yes, Melissa is not very. Catherine being her first pick, I believe. Oh man, David was her second pick.
She could be out by 4th of July.
She could pull a Brent. So first four people gone.
Okay.
We learned that Ovi and Cliff are kind of close. Okay. From Christy.
Okay. Steve, that's sort of like the people that are like sort of like on the periphery of what's going on with the main alliance. Does that sound like that's like a Scotty and Summers, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it before you said it.
Okay.
However, that does increase my hopes for Jackson. Because nothing helps your game and your perception in the house as much as losing a showmance partner.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone sees as Jackson being with Catherine and then he loses Catherine, that might be enough to get Jackson back under the radar if he allows it to happen. Will he allow it to happen? Probably not, but it's a golden egg that I hope he takes.
Yeah, it might not be his call.
You know? I mean, losing Catherine, if she goes, that could be good for, he could, that's a bad situation he could make good.
Yes. Christy did talk about like, I don't need to go after Jackson. Everyone's going after Jackson, so I can leave him for somebody else. But then we learned he was safe anyway, so I don't know why she was even talking about it.
Taryn, you didn't mention any of Sam's stories about driving the truck today.
Yeah. So when we talked about Sam preseason, I said, this is the guy, if he stays in the house for a while, he is going to be the voice in your head because you're going to hear a lot from him. And when we got our 15-minute feed preview, we heard a lot
from him. Yes. He's the same guy.
I drive truck. I bang ears, past ears.
He bangs what? Is that even legal?
Yeah. Steve, have you heard the term bang gears past ears?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he bangs gears past ears. That's
if I had a guess, that's, I had not heard that. And if I had a guess on what he said, that wouldn't have been it.
You like percussion, right?
I yes.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see if we get any more Sam's trucking stories.
I'm sure we will.
Taryn, you don't seem excited. You're not resigning from covering the live feeds over this, are you?
We'll see. We'll see how many truck we get. But I do think there is something, I think, that could be endearing about Sam eventually.
Yeah, but I think I'm high on Sam. I like him.
I think that he's very genuine in his quirkiness and he's very enthusiastic. And I think that while it might be annoying at first, will eventually kind of shine through. And I think that if he remains consistent with the positivity in that regard, that he will eventually gain some fans. Yeah.
Steve, how do you think it's going to play out for Sam?
I'm seeing a similar trajectory to Donnie.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be the one that people, he'll eventually be out because there's a massive alliance that he's been excluded from. And I also think that people are going to start loving his stories. And I think he will likely be one of the fan favorites from the season.
I agree. I think that he's another person that could be in the mix for some sort of a fan vote. One of the few people besides Cliff and Jessica who has a family. We got to see his kids and his wife, and you know, he has a blue collar background. I think that's going to play really well. I do think he has Donnie upside.
He's the all-American guy.
Yeah. And I think he's fun, Taryn. I think he's going to be like a live wire. He's not necessarily just like, you know, one note of just he's talking about, you know, the truck. I feel like that he's excitable.
Rob, I hope that that's the case. Did you watch the 15-minute live feed preview?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I was watching. I was watching the preview. I was watching you on Twitch. I was all over this today.
All right. So, you know, then you know what you're talking about. And, you know, I'm just I hope that, you know, he maybe can dial the volume down a little bit.
So you feel like he was just too loud?
He was very loud.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of anyone from my season who always yelled in the diet room was a fan favorite. I don't think anyone who did that.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
But Johnny was quiet in the house.
No, but yes.
Yeah.
He let it all in the DR. That is true.
All right. So, Taryn, any other episode one thoughts?
I loved Bella. I enjoyed Kemi. I really liked the possum stuff.
Yeah, that was fun.
Diary from Cliff. I think the producers are already in love with Tommy and the like his accent and just the way he talks. I think we're going to get a lot of him in the diary room.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like this group. I'm very happy here on night one, and I'm not as down on the twist as some people are, because I feel like that. Look, we sort of like really kicked the game into gear right now, and I wasn't the biggest David guy, and if he ends up being the collateral damage, he ends up being in a battle back. I can live with that. I was more sad when it was going to be Cameron, who was the first person to go out. Mm-hmm. When we talk about somebody like whose dream it is to be there, we don't know if David knew what Big Brother was a month ago.
Yeah. I will say I was relieved to find out it was David instead of Kemi. I was very upset for Kemi. Obviously,
Kemi's great. She's really fun. So we have a lot of fun characters this season.
This is for me, I think, a case where like the twist. It wasn't the worst, like the outcome wasn't the worst thing in the world, but I think the more likely outcome from this was that we lost Cliff or Kemi or whoever. But if we had lost Cliff in a night one, I would have been very sad for Cliff, and that would have been very disappointing.
Sure. It would have been very sad. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and Scott, let's talk about what's coming up here on Robin's podcast. A lot of great stuff happening right now. We have News AF. Yes, Danny Tyson and I got together again to talk about all of the top stories on News AF, including the story of a one woman who fell asleep on an Air Canada flight and woke up Steve, and she was the only person on the plane. Find out.
That sounds unsafe.
Yeah, exactly how that all played out on the latest edition of News AF. Of course, The Bachelorette is ongoing, and Amy and Haley are continuing to bring you the recaps. Episode number 6 recap is just up, and so be on the lookout for that. The Amazing Race finale recap and final 4 exit interviews are coming on Thursday. So I will talk to we will be live tomorrow night, but at the same time that's happening, the Amazing Race finale will be happening. A winner of the Amazing Race 31 will be crowned on Thursday. I will talk to the at least 3 of the 4 teams on Thursday morning. We might have a 4th exit interview, which has to come on Friday due to scheduling, but we'll have our exit interview special and then my recap with Jess and Mike coming on Thursday night. So be on the lookout for that. And then Big Brother premiere night 2 is coming on Wednesday night. Myself and Melissa Denny and Brent Wolgamott will be together once again at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, great time to get into our Rob Has a Podcast patron community. Head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron, where you can get access to the Rob Has a Podcast patron community, the Rob Has a Podcast patron only secret podcast feed, and a ton of other great perks that we have for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast who want to support all of this Big Brother coverage that we have in store for you. Coming up this summer, we'll be live after every episode of the show. We will also have Taryn's live feed updates coming to you every morning, starting on Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific. Do I have that right?
You do.
Okay. You can get the links every day on robhaswebsite.com. I go to rhap.live as well. If you want a shortcut to get to those live show links, the Summer of Stein will be returning as well. Yes, yeah, Steve, you like the Summer of Stein?
I'm an Eric Stein fan, yes.
Yes, how could you not be? Summer of Stein, we will have Summer of Stein episode number 1 coming up. I believe we'll be recording on Friday of this week. So the return of Eric Stein will be coming this Friday as well. Also very excited to announce that Caitlin Herman will be joining us live in the studio on eviction nights this season as well. So we have a lot going on, plus the LFC roundtable every single week. Tara, what night of the week is the LFC roundtable going to land on this season?
It'll be Monday night.
Back on Monday night. So a ton of Big Brother coverage coming your way for the next 90 some odd days as we are all set here, locked and loaded, Big Brother 21. Again, those podcast subscription links, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes is all RHAP. If you want just the Big Brother podcast, and that includes these recaps, Taryn's live feed updates, the LFC roundtables as well, Summer of Stein, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/BB podcast. And we really do appreciate your feedback and star ratings for both podcast feeds here at the start of the season, because it helps more and more people find the show as people are looking up for podcasts here at the start of the Big Brother season. All right, Steve Moses, thank you for joining us. This was so nice to catch up, Steve.
This was fun. I enjoyed it. We didn't talk about Nicole at all, and she was like one of my big preseason standout favorites.
Yes, well,
so I'm kind of disappointed.
She has
what's the big standout on Nicole? What's your impression on her before we go?
I am very excited to have her on the cast as a fellow person from Long Island. I love this moment that she had with her dad. She had a very, very touching moment with her dad in this episode.
What you working on, honey?
My Pegasus drawing.
Oh, very nice. Came out really well.
Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks for always hanging these up. I appreciate it.
What?
That's adorable. I love it.
What are you working on? Just my another Pegasus drawing, Dad. You know how I draw Pegasuses?
It felt like she was trying to like subtly flex the fact that like her father hangs her Pegasus drawings.
Yeah, this was like a scene out of like Napoleon Dynamite, too. I was like, it's a liger, Dad. So yeah, that was love that scene of her Pegasus drawings. She's great. Excited to have Nicole here, Steve.
I am too. I think she'll be a great part of the show.
Okay.
Her and Ovi were my two standouts from the immediate cast release.
Steve, what do you want to promote or tell people to follow you on social media? Anything?
Like Oasis Senior Advisors Orlando on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm getting active on that page. You should like me there.
Okay, good. Anything else? Twitter?
I'm at Steve Moses Sound, but I don't tweet a lot.
Okay.
You're welcome to follow me, but you won't get a lot of content there.
Okay, good. Steve, I really, it meant a lot to me that you to have you here with us for the premiere. So thank you again. We're honored to
thank you for having me.
Have a Big Brother winner and a great friend of the podcast. I give you so much credit, Steve, that I made fun during Big Brother 17. I said that you and Johnny Mac are losers and you proved me wrong. And I appreciate you always for being such a good sport.
Happy to help.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Taryn, what else do we need to know?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can find The Taryn Show on iTunes and other places where you get podcasts. I recently interviewed Dan Gheesling, season 10 and 14. So you can find that. Yeah, well, it's this guy. I don't know if it's this show, Big Brother. You play like a game. It's like a social thing. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like it. I know you probably think it's trash, but
yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's like every interaction I have with anybody that doesn't know Big Brother.
All right. Keep an eye out for that. We sent Matt Ligori out to the Big Brother premiere party in New York tonight to get some interviews. So hopefully we will have those for you shortly up on robhasawebsite.com. So a ton of great stuff going on. Hope you guys enjoyed the premiere as much as we did. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. Now, while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.